A 5-year-old girl lies on an operating table in a 1951. Dr. Clarence Dennis stands ready with his experimental heart-lung bypass machine, about to attempt what no surgeon has done before. Despite meticulous preparation, the operation reveals an unexpected condition, multiple heart holes rather than one, leading to uncontrollable bleeding and the child's death. A month later, a second attempt fails when human error causes air to enter a 2-year-old's blood supply. Two devastating losses. Yet today, millions of successful open-heart surgeries happen annually using descendants of Dennis's machine. These weren't just failures. They were essential stepping stones toward medical progress. This paradox sits at the heart of a revolutionary insight. Not all failures deserve blame, and some deserve celebration. The question isn't whether we'll fail, but whether we'll fail intelligently. Not all failures are equal. Burning cookies because you forgot the timer differs fundamentally from scientists experiencing 70% experimental failure rates. The first wastes resources without generating knowledge. The second explores territory where failure is the only path forward. Intelligent failures occur in new territory where answers aren't knowable in advance. Edison's 10,000 failed attempts generated irreplaceable knowledge. Basic failures happen when established procedures aren't followed. Texting while driving, forgetting timers, preventable mistakes that teach nothing new. Complex failures involve multiple factors converging unexpectedly, like the Torrey Canyon oil spill, where ocean currents, fog, mechanical issues, and time pressure combine to create Britain's worst environmental disaster. Understanding these distinctions transforms how we respond to setbacks, revealing when to celebrate, when to apologize, and when to redesign our systems. Why is failing well so difficult? Our brains are wired against it. We process negative information more readily than positive, remember negative events more vividly, and notice bad more quickly than good. This negativity bias offered survival advantages to early humans. Rejection from the tribe could mean death. We also suffer from loss aversion. A $100 loss feels more painful than a $100 gain feels pleasurable. Research reveals something troubling. We learn less from failure than success. When participants received failure feedback, they performed worse on subsequent tests. Failure is ego-threatening, which causes people to tune out. Interestingly, when observing others' failures, we learn as effectively as from successes. When failure strikes, our amygdala triggers immediate fear responses through the low road, fast, instinctive, bypassing the high road, slow, rational. Cognitive reframing offers the antidote. By pausing to challenge automatic thoughts and choosing learning over knowing, we break the link between what happens and how we respond. The difference between a fixed mindset, believing abilities are innate, and a growth mindset, viewing challenges as opportunities, determines whether failure crushes us or catalyzes growth. Consider the electric maze exercise, where participants navigate beeping and non-beeping squares. Most teams fail because they fear mistakes, not realizing that discovering either type provides valuable information. We often bring an execution mindset to learning tasks, creating unnecessary anxiety. Practicing the science of failing well requires awareness of two dimensions: how much is known, degree of novelty, and what's at stake, level of risk. Contexts range from consistent, like following a recipe, to variable, like teaching a class, to novel, like starting a business. Julia Child exemplified this awareness, lightheartedly recovering from kitchen mishaps on television while making cooking approachable. Lack of situation awareness leads to preventable disasters. When Coca-Cola launched Dasani water in the UK, they failed to anticipate that consumers expected natural spring water, not purified tap water. Testing revealed illegal bromate levels, forcing a $7 million write-off. Similarly, the 2013 healthcare.gov launch demonstrates underestimating novelty. Despite over $1 billion in funding, only 6 people could use the website on launch day because officials failed to recognize the enormity of the undertaking and created an environment where reporting problems felt unsafe. The beer game, a classic MIT exercise, reveals how systems create unintended consequences. Four players form a beer supply chain: retailer, wholesaler, distributor, and factory, making weekly ordering decisions without communication. Even experienced executives generate the same pattern: massive overordering followed by costly excess inventory. System-wide costs run 10 times higher than necessary, showing how structure influences behavior more than individual skill. Systems thinking means expanding focus from here and now to elsewhere and later. Organizations design systems reinforcing priorities through complementary elements. 3M exemplifies this: a company golf course encouraging informal connections, the technical forum for sharing ideas, and the 15% policy allowing experimental projects. The Post-it note emerged when this system connected Spencer Silver's failed adhesive with Arthur Fry, who saw its bookmark potential. Toyota's production system creates a community of scientists where problems are opportunities, not failures to hide. The Andon cord lets any worker halt production upon detecting quality issues. Successful organizations design integrated systems where multiple elements reinforce desired behaviors, recognizing that sustainable success requires understanding the complex web of relationships influencing how work gets done. Thriving begins with accepting our fallibility, not just intellectually, but emotionally. However, the license to fail is unequally distributed. Scholar Adam Bradley notes that whiteness often grants freedom to fail without fear, while minorities face representative burden, individual failures reflecting badly on entire groups, inhibiting the risk-taking that drives innovation. Several practices build a healthy relationship with failure. Persistence. Sarah Blakely sold fax machines while developing footless shapewear. After 2 years of rejection, her unwavering persistence transformed $5,000 into a billion-dollar company. Reflection. Professional musicians maintain practice journals documenting sessions, emotional states, and mistakes, turning failures into data points rather than sources of shame. Accountability requires acknowledging your contribution to failures without emotional devastation. Effective apologies contain three elements: expressing genuine remorse, accepting clear responsibility, and offering concrete amends. Focus on impact rather than intention. Acknowledge how your actions affected others, regardless of what you meant to do. While individuals can practice failing well, it's most effective within a healthy failure culture. Captain Ben Berman tells his crew, "I've never flown a perfect flight, and it's not going to happen today," normalizing imperfection and creating psychological safety. When Children's Hospital COO Julie Marath acknowledges that healthcare is a complex, error-prone system, she creates space for honest discussions about mistakes. Organizations worldwide are institutionalizing this approach. CNA CEO Ginny Boer established Failure Fridays, where colleagues share mistakes and lessons learned. The Failure Institute's Fuck Up Nights events now span 300-plus cities. Gray Advertising's Heroic Failure Award celebrates bold, creative attempts that didn't succeed but advanced learning. Tata Group's Dare to Try Award and NASA's Lean Forward, Fail Smart Award recognize courage and early problem identification. A healthy failure culture reveals itself through information flow. If you're only hearing good news, problems are being suppressed. Look for organizations where bad news travels fast, dissent is welcomed, and requests for help signal wisdom. Ray Dalio's dramatic failure illustrates this principle. At 33, the Bridgewater Associates founder bet everything on an economic prediction that proved catastrophically wrong, leaving him broke. This transformed his thinking from "I'm right" to "How do I know I'm right?" leading him to build the world's largest hedge fund. The science of failing well isn't about avoiding failure, but failing intelligently, making failures small enough to survive, but meaningful enough to learn from.